You know, the more you press in, the more you receive. The less you press in, the less you receive. There is anything greater than God's presence and the glory of his character to touch you and change you and bring revelation and impartation and kill you. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, hallelujah. The more you die, the more joyful you are. The more alive you are, the more miserable you are. Would you turn to the book of Psalm 37, verse 1, please? Woohoo! I didn't know if we were going to make it. Ooh-wee. You guys are real quiet right now, man. What's up? Everybody okay? I'm still a shaking. I'm shaking and quaking. I'm gonna get it together here in a second here. Woo. Okay. I'm back. Can't guarantee how long, let me tell you. Whew. Okay. Gosh, it is hot in here or what? I'm cooking. Fire. Verse 1, please. Do not fret because of evildoers. I don't know. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 1. More air. Oh. Are we there now? Okay. Can we speak it together? Good. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Is that happening now? Yes, it's going to continue to happen. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. What's his faithfulness? His promises. Amen. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Let me tell you, if you delighted yourself today, things are about to happen, the things that God has been trying to get to you, because he puts desires in your heart. They're not, let's see if I can explain. They're his desires, not yours. But then they turn over to become your desires because you're in God's presence and God's glory and things change. And you finally get out of the stinking way. And then his desire takes hold of your heart. And it becomes your desire. And as you continue to delight yourself in him, he's making way for his desire to be manifested through you in this world. Verse 5. I've never been able to explain that light before. It's cool. Hallelujah. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Is it evil times? Amen. They shall be satisfied. In the days of famine. They shall be what? Satisfied in the days of famine. So you won't fall into famine. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of metals, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. This, hallelujah. Right now we are seeing this happen globally. Amen. We are in a time right now where we must come out of the areas of, we're going from a time of survival, coming out of survival, what we used to call surrender. But the end result is revival. So we're actually coming out from survival into revival. And the revival is the release of God's glory. The revival is a refresh. It's a renewing. In the revival, there's zealous for the Lord. There's a great zealous that escalates. Is everybody okay? So these are modes. This is an attitude. We walk around in an attitude of revival. We're not mopey. Amen. We're not downcast. We're not heavy burden. We're joyful, energized, ready to do whatever it takes. We are about the Father's business, no matter where you are, whether at work or play or whatever, it doesn't matter. You're always the thought before you is always God's business, Him first, not you first, Him first. Amen. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Survival to revival. Revelation 3:14, please. Hallelujah. Whew. Okay. I think I just landed, so I'm okay now. Glory to God. Everybody there, let's speak it together, please. Verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of all of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and the white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and what? Repent. Be what? Zealous. Zealous. Be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Remember, he didn't say, let him listen. He said, let him hear. Hearing is different. Because when you hear, you're already thinking about how you're putting it into purpose, how you're putting into action. When you're listening, you're just agreeing, but you're really not receiving. See, there's a lot of people that listen. Yeah. But they're not hearing. There's a difference. Amen. To be zealous. Ooh. He says, be zealous and repent. Well, a zealous is entering revival mode. To be zealous is to what? Enter revival mode. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah, thank you. Isaiah 9, verse 6, please. Everybody there? Let's speak it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, so it will be a constant. It's still being constant right now. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice for the time from this time forward, even forever. The what? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, the increase of government and peace, in other words, there's no end. The zeal of the Lord will do it. Remember, we're going from survival. We go from survival to surrender. In surrender, you pick up zeal. Is everybody with me? Zeal will bring revival. If there's no zeal, there's no revival. So this is how God moves. Again, we started a life of surrender. I mean, we started a life of survival. We were living for ourselves, surviving all the time. Living from paycheck to paycheck and whatever. I mean, that's how we lived. We were in survival mode. When you come in out of survival mode and into surrender mode, where you truly trust in God and he becomes your Lord, not just Savior, you enter another mode. And in that mode, it's called surrender. In the mode of surrender, you receive zeal. And the zeal of the Lord takes you to another place, which brings revival. You are revived. We get revived. That's why we get revived in the presence of the Lord. Well, you're fighting for God's presence because you carry his zeal. Amen? Isaiah 59. Hallelujah. Isaiah 59. In verse 16, Isaiah 59, verse 16. Survival to revival. That's the name of the teaching. Yes, there's a process, isn't there? What isn't? Everything's a process in the kingdom. But we see, when you're in that, you're always about the Father's business. You're ready in season and out. You're thinking about how can I expand God's kingdom. You're always thinking about kingdom business, not about your business. Because when you take care of God's business, he takes care of yours. Isaiah 59, verse 16. Everybody there? Let's speak it, please. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him. In his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a what? Cloak. According to the deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgressions in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth. For from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants. Descendants, it says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. In other words, the zeal was going to get passed on. Does everybody understand it? That zeal will give. Why? Because you carry the zeal. That zeal is catchy. Zeal is a cloak. Hallelujah. Zeal. What is it? It's an excessive fervor to do something. It is a willingness or an accomplishment to accomplish something to the end. Zeal is not anxiousness. So many people think because they're anxious, they got zeal for God. That's not true. Zeal is not anxiousness. It becomes a strong desire to serve the kingdom. It is your primary call and your responsibility. It is your primary call and your responsibility when you carry the zeal of the Lord. Why? Because wherever you go, something is planted for revival. Matthew 6, verse 19. Survival to revival. Matthew 6, verse 19. Hallelujah. Are we there? Let's speak it together, please. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, what your heart's desires, things that you, so your zeal, if your zeal is for the towards the earth, you're going to be building treasures on the earth. If your zeal is for God, you're going to be building treasures in heaven. Amen. Set your heart on kingdom business. Where you're always building. You're building, you're an expansion of the kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. See, so many people backslide because they've never reached the level of zeal. Their zeal is still to live their old life. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, please. Everybody there? Everybody okay? I'm back. Whew. That was intense. Not intense, out of tense. Those are moments when you get ready to go home. Just take me, please. Verse 7, let's speak it. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For the love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as a good steward of the multiple grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. In other words, these are individuals that are carrying the zeal of the Lord. Why? Because they want to bring revival. Verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blaspheming, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come when judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good and to a faithful creator. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Hebrews 6 verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody there? We're going to speak the first three verses, then we're going to fly over to verse 9. Let's speak it. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principle of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God, and of doctrines of baptism, of the laying on of hands, or resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Go to verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have administered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, move on. Keep moving. Stay zealous. Minister. Be a witness. You can be an evangelist. You can be a prophet. You can everything in the move of the Spirit of God. It doesn't matter. All the gifts of the Spirit are available for me and you at any time, in any moment, any time the Spirit wants to move. You can give a word to anyone when the Spirit gives it. I've been in multiple places very unexpectedly, and all of a sudden the Lord will say something to me for this person. Could be in the division of motor vehicles. It could be anywhere. It doesn't matter. I've done it many times in the division of motor vehicles. I'd be with my wife and I'll tell her, I got to go say something to this person or give them a prayer booklet. See, that's all it takes. Amen? Luke chapter 9, verse 57. But we are entering revival mode. The body of Christ has entered revival mode. Luke 9:57. But you know, revival, again, in the area of surrender, coming out of, you know, coming out of the world, we one of our foundational purposes is maintain a prayer life. You must disconnect from the world to connect every day. If you're not an individual that's maintaining a prayer life, seeking the kingdom every morning, you will never enter that place of full zealous. And then you won't enter the place of revival. But you first have to get revived yourself. you can't bring revival to anywhere else unless you're zealous for the Lord and in revival. Amen? You can tell people that are in that mode. They're laughter, they're joyful, they have, you know what I'm saying? They carry a presence of God. They carry the glory of God. And nothing causes them to become offended. They just burn through it. They burn through everything. Why? Because they carry the fire of God also. That's why Jesus said, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost in fire. Well, that fire brings zeal. Hallelujah. Luke 9:57, are we there? Let's speak it. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. But you go and preach to the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. No one putting his hand to the plow. In other words, trying to fix your past. Trying to please man. You know, when you first get saved, your family's going to be in shock. I know my family was quite in shock. In fact, everybody I knew was in shock. Because they couldn't believe it could happen to me. My wife was in shock, who was my ex-wife at that time. I was in shock. Still am. And so people have a hard time believing that something can change, because we always try to change ourselves, but we can never do it. It had to be the power of God Almighty to change us. It couldn't be nothing else. I don't care how many programs you go to, whatever, it's still the presence of God. The purpose of total freedom is to bring a curriculum of cooperation that is true, to reveal truth, to bring people into the presence and glory of God, and to arm them so they can stay in there and not get sucked out. That's what discipleship is. So you can go to all kinds of drug programs. I know people that, $30,000 for 30 days. Oh, it's beautiful there. Jacuzzis, massages. Oh, it's wonderful. I've never... football, baseball, you can do all kinds of things for 30 days. Just don't use. Oh, they have meetings. They talk about it all the time. Believe me, I've been in them. I left them. Especially when the instructors are out there huffing cigarettes. You're going to try and tell me how to get off addiction? You can't even overcome that cigarette? I'm out of here. And they didn't even help me leave. I walked in the snow with my suitcases, left that place. I'm out of here. But again, people will have a hard time because they can't see. They can't see the change. They see a change, but they don't believe it. They don't believe it. It's temporary. Well, you know how many people turn to Jesus and fall 2 days later? You know what I'm saying? That's why there's been a reputation of, oh, you have gone to Jesus. I had that same, I thought the same thing when the guy I was in the drug world for over, Jesus. He said, bro, he's the only one that doesn't turn his back. But I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about that. I mean, I knew I believed in a God, but I didn't know who God was until I met him. But there was something I had to do first. I had to get in his presence. And I didn't know. I just had to go to a prayer meeting that day. And I didn't even want to go. I got coerced into going. I went to this prayer meeting. People were praying over these prayers. And then they asked me to pray them. I didn't know. The only thing I knew was Our Father who art in heaven. Or Hail Mary full of grace and all these other religious stuff. They didn't know nothing else. They said, well, just pray for these. They were prayer requests. Dear God, you want me to pray for people? They believe me, they don't want me to pray for them. And this preacher, because the presence of God was in this building, it was the spirit. The presence of God. They were carrying the glory of God. They were zealous for the Lord, and that rubbed off on me, and I didn't know it. Next thing I know, I went home, laid next to the pool, and boom, there he was. I was brought to the other side, never the same. But it started by a simple surrender and hanging around with those who carried the zeal of God or the glory of God. And I don't know if any, you know, that's how it started, because I had to, there had to be some kind of contact with God's glory, with God's presence. Somehow. And then I was abducted. Bam. Never the same. And I saw that serpent come out of my body. So nobody's going to tell me that there ain't no demons. And when the Lord said to me, that came out of you, whoa. Can you imagine me telling God this stuff only happens in Star Trek? And he says, no, guy, that came out of you. But the greatest love, his glory and his presence, and we just desire, want more. We want more of him. We want more of his love. We want more of his presence. We want more of his glory. I can't stop. That's the only thing that satisfies us. Other than that, we look for everything else. That's why it's so important to forsake not to assemble. How much you sow in is how much you get. You give a little, receive a little. Amen? Where do we go? Did we do this yet? We're in Luke 9. Did we finish it? Okay, good. So you can't look back. Amen? Philippians 3. Whew, got hot again in here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, please. Philippians 3, verse 12. We there yet? Now, let's speak it, please. Philippians 3, 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend. Anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. My example. citizenship is in heaven, from which we also No, Colossians. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Colossians 2, 16. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody there? Good. Hallelujah. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. And not holding fast to the head, from which all of the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. And I'm going to close at John chapter 2, verse 13. John 2, 13. Glory. Survival to revival. Sounds like people are going to get resurrected. Let's speak it, please. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. In other words, he kicked them over. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal for your house have eaten me up. Wow. The zeal of the house has eaten me up. Well, one thing that zeal brings is boldness. It brings what? Boldness. You don't take no crap from nobody. Amen? It doesn't mean you get in physical fights or anything and you get in arguments. You just stand firm for what is truth. You cannot be swayed by the false prophets of the media. You cannot be swayed by movies and stuff and everything that's going around, especially when you go to places and workplaces where there's all kinds of heathens there. They can't sway you. Why? Because you carry the zeal of the Lord and you're in a process and you are on a mission of revival. Our mission is revival. Amen. We want to bring people out of the dead position into a life position. We want to bring them out of survival into revival. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Thank you for the mission and the call that you've called us to. Thank you for your word that doesn't return void. And continue to keep us in that place where we are in the mode, attitude of revival. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Prepare your hearts for communion.